this amazing, changing work that brings assurance and confidence and joy and peace. And it is a stunning walk this side of heaven. No matter how broken, I have a King who is right here with me. Amen. Well, it's great to be here with you. Great to be celebrating with all you guys, whether you're here in person or joining us live stream. Man, we are fired up to be making it about Jesus Christ. We're in a series here, a series that is talking about what it means to hand ourselves over to our King in this broken world. So the series is called Love, right? As we have this outpouring, this overflowing of our heart into this world, Him pouring into us, filling us up, spilling out to those around us. That's our battle cry. And remember, this is kind of that John 15 call out that we're going after. If you remember the cross that we put up here behind us, right? Praise God, we have an empty cross. Jesus Christ, He is alive. And all of God's people said, right? Jesus Christ, He is risen. We have hope in Him, but more than alive, see the vine wrapping through the cross. He is life-giving. He gives us hope, He gives us life, He gives us promise. And so we can abide in Him. That was His first command He gave His disciples, abide. And then more than that, you can pray to, you can talk with, you can communicate with your King. And then also obey, know His word, follow His word. And then finally, we get to love. As He's filling us up, as we're trusting in Him, as we're leaning on Him, then filled with His love, it spills to the streets. May God get all the glory, all right? So we're talking through in this series, what does it mean to biblically love? How do we go about it? What is the source of it? What does it look like for us to constantly be placing that as one of our responsibilities with those around us? So turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 13. 1 John 4, starting in verse 13. And as we get going here, point number one, abide in God and let Him abide in you. Abide in God and let Him abide in you. It says, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Let's just hold right there. As John is walking through this, remember the author of this is the same one who wrote the Gospel of John. He also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And so in writing 1st John here, he's revealing out some of the statement about God being love. And if you notice, this is part two in a series, right? Last week we were looking at part one as we began to explore what is this love that pours out? What does it look like? How do we go after it? God being the source of that love, he now continues and he says, by this we know. Now sometimes when you see that kind of phrase, it means it's looking backwards. And sometimes when you see that phrase, it means he's looking forward. Here he says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because, and then he begins to explain it. So this, by this we know, is setting us up like, hang on, within the sentence, I'm going to explain to you where you're going to get the answer from. And he actually is giving us the answer later in the sentence, right? By this we know, here's the proof that we can know, that we can have this knowledge, this experiential understanding of, by this we can grasp that we abide in him and he in us. How can we know if we're abiding in him? Like we hear that word, and let's be honest, most of us know what the word means a little bit, but when we start to say, just abide in him, we have to start wrestling with ourselves a little bit. How do I do that? Like, what does that look like? And unfortunately, all too often, very quickly, we'll change it into a list of other things to do. How do I abide? And then we start giving rules, right? Well, read your Bible like this. Well, pray like this. Well, and all of a sudden, all we're doing is listing tasks, and we're missing relationship. Ready? And all of God's people said, be careful. Don't just change abide into some checklist thing that you do on a daily basis that in fact could allow you to distance from your God. So how do I know if I have relationship with him? How do I know if I'm remaining in him? That's what the word abide means, to remain, to dwell. It literally means make your home with. How do I know I'm living with him and having relationship with him? Think of it like you with your family. You dwell with them in your home, connected together, relating together. How do we dwell with him well? God-honoringly, biblically, in a way that rocks our world. And here's the amazing thing. This is him with us and us with him. How do we know, experientially have this understanding of the fact that I actually am connected to him relationally? Well, he says, here's how you know, because he has given us of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit in your life, moving, shaping, directing, gives this massive understanding that you are abiding with him and he with you. The hope that we can have is that God does have this experiential relationship with us. Christ is like, look, as I'm going to heaven, as I'm ascending up and I'm going to be seated at the right hand of the Father, I will send the Helper, the Comforter. This is God in the third person, the Holy Spirit, spending time with you. How can I know I'm abiding? Because the Holy Spirit is rocking your world. Because he's moving in your life in various ways. Because he has given of his Spirit. You know, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Like our spirit, Holy Spirit comes in and takes up residence, works with us, God with you, abiding with you. For those who are saved, everybody say saved. For those who are trusting in Jesus, you believe that Jesus is risen, you confess him as, you're in charge, God. For those who are saved, immediately, your body, temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit with you. Did you know that? Guarantee in your life, not a maybe. Not if you're saved, you know, you might. Not that. Man, if you are saved, absolutely Holy Spirit with you beginning to move in your life and shape in a huge way. But we have more than just privilege of Holy Spirit being around. We can have relationship with. How am I drinking deep of this? And, you know, Ephesians chapter 1 gives us another promise of the Holy Spirit. It says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. When you believed in him, everybody say, that's saved. When you were believed, when you were saved, you were sealed right then and there. Holy Spirit given as a guarantee that God is working with you all the way to the end, into eternity. Sealed. This is a statement that was used back in the time of Jesus. They would roll up a scroll, they would put some kind of wax on it, and they would stamp it down, and the seal that was put there says, I guarantee this. We have a guarantee from the God of the universe. He is at work in my life. Holy Spirit sealing us, it says, with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Holy Spirit with us until we're home in heaven. Praise be to God. Promise. God with us on a daily basis. And yet we can still miss so much of what the Holy Spirit does in our life. So I just wrote these words down. Six assurances from the Spirit that we have when we're saved. Six assurances. That's really what he's talking about when he says, here's how you can know that you're abiding. You'll have assurance through relationship with him, all right? Six assurances, and I'm just going to tell you, I started to write these down in a little different wording than you could normally see. Like a lot of times when you just look up work of the Holy Spirit, you can just get these one-worders and knock them out, and there's all these verses that come with it. We'll mark the verses down, but we're going to put it in a little different phrasing so we can grasp it, all right? First one. First of all, he gives conviction about Jesus, the Holy Spirit. That's the first one. Worth writing down. Gives conviction about this. How do I know I have the Holy Spirit abiding in me? Do you believe that Jesus is risen? Really answer the question to yourself. Do you believe that Jesus is risen from the dead? He's alive. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? He is King Almighty. Do you believe that? Are you willing to put him in charge of your life? You take over. Do you believe so much that you're handing your life to him? Do you believe that? And that's the Holy Spirit working in your life. Just so we're clear, Scripture says that that's regeneration. Titus is this massive, clear statement as we walk it through, right? Titus 3:5 talks about the regeneration of the Spirit. That's what it's talking about. When your spirit is regenerated, you're convicted of who Jesus is, and you're ready to respond to him. Are you saved? Well, then the Spirit's working. Here's another one. He doesn't just give conviction about Jesus. He gives peace in the storm. He gives peace in the storm. By the way, some of these you're going to notice, well, I let the storm really rage in my life and I kind of miss out on the peace. And he doesn't take over like a tyrant. And sometimes we start letting the things of this world dominate and we start missing out on the relationship we can have with him. And we're missing out on the assurance that we can have. We're missing out on the knowledge we can have of God with us and abiding with us. But man, as we work with our King, we can have peace. Yes, peace for what comes in eternity, but more than that, yes, peace even in the middle of the storms here in this world. Ready? And all of God's people said. John chapter 14, verse 27 talks about peace being given. John 14, 27. And Jesus a part of that? Yes, the Holy Spirit a part of that. And he gives conviction about Jesus. He gives peace in the storm. Here's another one. He gives direction in difficulty. He gives direction in difficulty. This is the guiding or the leading you might hear about the Holy Spirit. This is you wrestling and you're praying and you're longing for wisdom. God, what do I do? And John 16, 13, he gives direction in difficulty. Man, have you been in a tough spot and you've been longing for some clarity, and as you're praying with your God, he sort of reveals a next step that is making sense. Others around you are confirming it. God's word is confirming it. And you're seeing the Holy Spirit lead you in it. Again, you notice how some of this relationship with God, man, we can miss it. Like we're not listening to God usher up some peace. We're not listening to you in charge right now, God. Right now, quite frankly, I see the problem is way too big, and I'm not thinking about what you have to say, and I'm kind of worked up, and I'm up all night, and I'm right. And all of a sudden we're finding that our assurances wobble a little. Assurance is very connected to experience. By the way, saved is not connected to experience. But assurance is connected to experience. Let that settle. Man, we may not be feeling it in the moment. That doesn't mean we're less saved. Is Jesus King? Is he risen? Is he your God? Is he alive? Man, that's saved. But I might not be living in a way where I'm able to experience his peace, his guiding, his protection, right? Be careful in that. He says he gives direction in difficulty. Here's another one. He gives gifts in the kingdom. If you are saved, he has absolutely 100% empowered you to do and be something in the church. What is it? What is it that he's calling you to be a part of? And as you start serving with that gift, and you start noticing that that's a really natural, easy thing for you to do, and as you're pouring it out and others are blessed, man, it's a joy to be able to give, and it gives you more assurance. You're with your King. Assurance comes with this experiential moment of God doing a work, Holy Spirit working. Here's another one. He gives victory over sin. He gives victory over sin. By the way, giving the gifts, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 and Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, there's a lot of places for it, okay? But he gives victory over sin. He gives victory over sin. I'm just telling you, if you want high abiding assurance, take your sin to your God and say, Lord, this needs to go. God, I'm wrong. I need to see this gone. Please forgive me. And as you start being able to take one step of victory, as you start seeing some level of change where God's changing you, His glory changing you, man, there's assurance you're abiding with the King. And as you start to be able to look at sin behind you, it's in the rearview mirror. That sin has nothing to do with my present life. Man, there is massive celebration of your God. He's like, you want to know how you can know that you know you're abiding in Him? Holy Spirit rocking your world all over the place brings massive assurance. Okay? Huge. Gives victory over sin. And here's the last one. He gives hope in times of struggle. He gives hope in times of struggle. And hope. This one, maybe Romans 8:26, it talks about us having somebody who cries out on our behalf. When we have no words, we're hurting so bad. Holy Spirit crying out on your behalf. There's something that happens in the middle of the deepest, hardest tragedy where you are wordless. It hurts so bad. And God is doing something over you and in you that brings a calm in that storm you cannot explain. Romans 8:26. Massive. Hope in the middle of all that God is doing. Let's just go over them one more time. How do I know the Spirit's working? How do I know I'm abiding? He gives conviction about Jesus, Titus 3:5. He gives peace in the storm, John 14:27. He gives direction in difficulty, John 16:13. He gives gifts in the kingdom, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, so many places on that. He gives victory over sin, 2 Corinthians 3:16-18. Victory over sin. And He gives hope in times of struggle, Romans 8:26. Know this, the Holy Spirit is active in our lives. Now, maybe you grew up in a church, a little bit like I did, where it just kind of wasn't cool to mention the Holy Spirit too much. Like, careful. There's people that mention the Holy Spirit a lot, and we're trying to distance ourselves from that. So don't mention the Holy Spirit at all. And dude, that is wrong. Be careful with that. We have the Comforter, the Helper, the King who is ushered in our lives. And man, may we recognize that the Holy Spirit is doing a work daily in our lives that is absolutely stunning, miracle-working, glorious. Are you ready to have some assurance? Time to just say, God, rock my world. Lord, I'm ready to hear from You. Time to let Him work in our sin, in our struggle, in our confusion. Time to let Him have His way. Hands down, I'm not fighting God, ready to hear from You. Ready? And all of God's people said, by this we know. All right? I'll say it again. Man, the experiential does not save. But it sure does bring us assurance that we are saved. Okay? Huge deal. All right, He says, and we have seen and testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He's like, just so you know, the Holy Spirit's working in me. And the Holy Spirit's working in us as disciples. We have seen. We were there when Jesus was raised from the dead. We were there when He said He's going to ascend up, but the Holy Spirit's going to be given. We testify to this. That He is absolutely our hope, and He's been sent into this world to be the Savior, for God so loved the world. He's like, let me make this clear. Holy Spirit's working in my life and convinced me of who Jesus is, and we cannot get enough of it. We're celebrating it with all we've got. The Father sent the Son, His love on display, to be the Savior of the world, His righteousness on display. Your God for you, all right? He says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, like everybody say, that's saved. Like whoever confesses, like, okay, Lord, you are risen, you're alive, you are the Son of God, you are God Almighty, stepped into this world, you are King, and I'm giving you charge of my life. By the way, when it says confess, it doesn't mean say something about him, but you don't lean on it. It means you're saying something about and leaning in on. I count on that. I'm confessing Jesus as the Son of God. I live it. I lean on it. He is my King, right? Confessing Jesus, saved. And then we know, we can agree. It says, God abides in him and he in God. God abides in him and he in God. This is us with, everybody just say, us with him. This is us with him, having a hope of God at work in us as the Spirit enlivens, as the Holy Spirit encourages, and as the Holy Spirit empowers. If you wanted to bring it down to three words that the Holy Spirit's doing in your life, he enlivens, he gives life. Enlivens, he encourages, and he empowers. Make sure you're experiencing your God doing that in your life daily. It's going to blow you away. All right? Huge deal. All right. Man, if we're going to abide, we got to go after it with all we've got. And I started thinking about an illustration that we could go through, and I thought, well, why come up with a different one than what Jesus did? So you look at the vine that's up on our cross that we've got there, John 15. Jesus was talking to the disciples as he was walking along, and he's like, look, I'm the vine. You're the branch. Now, for many of us today, when we hear the word vine, you may think something more like weed. Right? We don't have vines around here. We don't have vineyards all over the place, right? Think of it more like this. I'm the trunk of the tree. We have trees around here, right? I'm the trunk. You're the branch. Like, you're connected into me, then you're drawing life. You're not connected into me, then it's not looking good, right? You go up to your tree, you cut one of the branches off, it drops on the ground, you leave it sit there, you walk away, you come back weeks later, not looking so good. The connection is essential for being able to have this life with him. Jesus is like, I'm the tree trunk. You're the branches, to put it in Central Illinois terms, right? I'm the tree trunk. You're the branches. And make sure you're connected in and drawing life from. And a huge promise of hope as we connect with him. I just put four words down that I want to make sure that we make clear. Because we have our own soul, because we have the right to choose, because we can distance ourselves. Look, when a branch is connected into the trunk, that's kind of it. Like then everything is drawn through and it all works and everything is going. But with our soul, we have another thing called the will that gets in the way. Branches don't have a will, but we do, right? And be careful with it. How do I engage my will? So let's just put these four words down. This is a lame acronym, but it works, all right? Everybody say it's lame. I agree with you, but here we go anyway. Ready? Just the acronym is CHAT. CHAT. And it doesn't mean that. That thing you're thinking of right now, right? But connect is the first one. You got to be connected or there will be no abiding, right? Hear. You have to hear what he says. You've got to listen and understand. You've got to be hearing him. That's the H, right? C is connect. The H is I have to hear him. What is God's word saying? What is God saying in it? Here. Next one. A. Agree. See, all too often we're like, okay, well, I see what God says, but I don't know if I see it though. Yeah, well, I'm not sure I'm really. Yeah, but. Like, are you that kind of hearer? Where when you hear it, you're like, well, yeah, but. Just so you know, that's not hearing. Like, we have to be careful. What is God saying? I hear you, Lord. Okay, Lord, I agree with you. That is the way it is. And if you're a yeah, but kind of person, that's where you'll throw your butt. You're like, okay, I agree with you, but don't do that. It's time to get rid of all of the rejection, the push away. Okay, Lord, I hear you. I agree. I will not fight that. Ready? And then the last one, T, trust. How do I abide in him? I connect with him. I hear from him. I agree with him. And I trust in him. I will not go my own way. Your way, God. May God get all the glory. And all of God's people said, that's a little bit of what abiding looks like, all right? Point number two. Abide in love because God is love. He starts out, he says, so, just so you know, in the original language, this is a word that's actually just a simple connecting word. It's the word kai. It means and, or now, or and next, or so. You can see the connecting in it. He's like, so, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. As we abide in him, as we experience him, we start coming to know the love that he has, this new life that he brings, this new hope that he brings. Man, with eyes of faith, that Jesus is all that. Like, Lord, I'm looking to you. You heard this song that Nathan and the worship team were singing here at the offertory. Like, down with it being about my feelings, up with it being about you. I'm in with you being in charge. And we can see God's love on full display. And we are absolutely stunned and in awe. This is our hope. He says, God is love. This is the second time he said it in this passage. You remember last week he said it as well. God is love. And just so we're super clear, not God is loving. Like, hey, there's times where God is kind of a nice guy. Like, not that. God is love. Like, every time, all the time, always and forever, God is bringing a sacrificial care of what's best for the other. Now, don't set down the rest of who he is. He is also holy and righteous, but God is love. And he is a complex, intense, unbelievably caring, sacrificial being who is in charge of the universe. This is our God. God is love. He says, as I was thinking through it this week, I just wrote this down. God's love is complex. His love brings accountability for sin with the hope of forgiveness from sin. This is our God. Yes, accountability to sin, his righteousness and holiness, but the hope of forgiveness from sin, mercy, and God doing a work in us. He says, and whoever abides in love, like whoever dwells in God, whoever makes a home with the God of the universe, whoever abides in sacrificial care being poured onto them, ready, abides in God. Whoever abides in love abides in God. I love this. He says, and God in him, this clear statement. He's like, let me be philosophical with you. No, let me be mathematical with you. Ready? He's like, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. That's all he's saying right here. If God is love and you're abiding in love, A and B, and God is love, well, then you're abiding in God. Like, that's the way it rolls. You can't separate them. True biblical love, true sacrificial love. There is no love apart from God. Let that settle. There is no agape biblical love apart from God. And the world is trying. They want to say they've come up with stuff, but it's broken down and will absolutely crush in the end. To abide in love is to abide in God. A equals B and B equals C, so A equals C, all right? He gives this little logic moment, and he's like, and by the way, God also abides with you. You're not just abiding in him. He's lavishing it back on you. He's pouring into your life. God gives this hope. He said, by this is love perfected with us. By this is love perfected. Because we abide in him, our love is being matured, being grown, being shaped. Your sin is being set down. Your life is being altered. You are beginning to run with your King. You have hope. By this is love perfected with us as we abide in him and mature in him. It says, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. So that we know we're saved. That's the first part of it. Look, if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if we believe that Jesus is risen from the dead, we're convicted of who he is, saved. Well, praise God, man, we know that in the end, we will be with our Savior in heaven forever. Promise. That's saved. And all of God's people said, please be careful not to add anything to salvation about works. If I'm saved and then maybe heaven. No, man, if I'm trusting Christ, faith in him, that's saved. Period. All right? Huge deal. He says there's this promise in the end, this hope that we can have a confidence in the day of judgment. And now there's also a different judgment that comes to believers where we have this reward moment of God handing a cross. We can even have confidence in that as we're abiding in love, as we're taking care on a daily, regular basis to go after him and care for those around us. Just so you know, there's reward that comes in that. Man, whether you're talking about the reward side of believers with him or you're talking about saved in general, confidence as we abide in love and abide in him. Guess when there's not confidence? When I won't abide in love. When I distance and make it about self. When I start buying into the lie of making it about my feelings and I'm just going to live that way and I'm not caring what God says. And in fact, if I hear what God says, I might even say, ugh. I don't know, God, but, and I'm starting to distance the abide and let it drift down. Man, careful with that. Careful with that. It will absolutely rock your confidence and your assurance. And quite frankly, if there's enough distancing of that, you have to even start to question where you are in the beginning. God, am I trusting in you and leaning on you, your Savior? You are Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. Am I in? And this is a huge deal that we follow our King. He says, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. God is love. And if we are saved and he's pouring into us, then we are love. And as we lavish love out into this world, well, that's what God's rewarding for. He's like, that's my boy. That's my girl. That's what I'm talking about. Going after it like you would not believe. Pouring into those around, making sure that we are a light and that we care. You know, you heard Pastor Mike talk about Compassion Day, and so I'll just close it out with this. What a great day yesterday. We never want to talk too much about the weather, but the weather was awesome. And if you talk too much about it, you don't know what's coming next with God saying, let's see if we can be happy when that's not the weather, right? But the weather was stunning, perfect. In fact, so great that the weather held up, no rain until later in the evening. So when you got done with Compassion Day, you could even go home and do your own yard work and be a little happy about it, right? So we're not that guy wearing the t-shirt that says Compassion Day and we're driving our lawnmower and we're like, I can't believe I have to be here. I can't stand this mowing the lawn. I just did all this work this morning and not that guy, right? We have this beautiful day, beautiful weather, and then the rain starts coming down about 5, 6 o'clock, I don't know, somewhere in there, and just pours down rain. I know we got around to a number of different sites and just so appreciative. The number of people, just a joy on their face, a smile on their face. You're teaching your kids to have a smile on their face and go after it. People working hard, people celebrating together and laughing, and just a blast. So appreciate all of you guys and all all of the work you did. I know we got around to a number of different places, even got to one site. They had a job change that happened to them. They had to go pick up a bunch of garbage, put all the garbage into bags, then they had no way to get it back. We happened to just at that moment kind of roll up next to them to give some waters out and see how they were doing. And they're like, man, we don't know what to do with all this garbage. And so we put it in the back of my pickup, and then, you know, the garbage bags start leaking nasty stuff all over. So we end up taking it back, me and one of the other guys, and we dump it into the dumpster. And when we get back, I just pull my truck onto our driveway, which is kind of inclined, just so you know. Pull it in, open up the bed of the truck, let that stuff roll, and then let God just rain and wash my truck for me. And then later I just pulled it in and everything was great, right? Praise God. Had an awesome day. So appreciate, little shout out to the college guys. Oh my word, you guys have no idea how hard the college kids worked. They were asked to pull some mulch up, which meant like dig down to China and get all of that out, and just a phenomenal job of work all day long. I'm just telling you, our job is to connect with our King, to hear from our King, to agree with our King, and to go on to trust our King no matter what's going on. And all of God's people said, as we abide in Him and He in us, He does this amazing, changing work that brings assurance and confidence and joy and peace. And it is a stunning walk this side of heaven. No matter how broken, I have a King who is right here with me. You are not alone. This is our hope. This is our love and the source of our love. May we trust in Him. And all of God's people said, let's pray.